Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer?
Jesus said that he would bring an end to suffering and establish his kingdom, but when will it happen? This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Jesus spoke of what the end of this world will look like in the end times.
Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you."
And then Jesus said, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you." And then Jesus promised, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am."
Notice, Jesus didn't say, "I'm coming back to stay, but I'm coming back to take you with me, that you may also be where I am."
And so Jesus is coming back to take his followers to be where he is. Could this be the rapture to bring us to where he is? The rapture is Jesus coming down from heaven and calling his believers to be with him in the sky. Our guest is Bible prophecy expert Amir Sarfati. He's a former major in the Israeli Defense Forces. He was born in Israel. He's the author of many books, including The Last Hour. Amir Sarfati tells us how God knows how to rescue the righteous.
The rapture of the church. Rapture comes from rapturo. It's in Latin. It comes from the Greek harpazo. And it is in the Bible many times. It's to be caught up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Comfort one another, because we know we are now closer to being caught up, snatched away to be with the Lord in the air. Every day we are a day closer to being with Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom.
Notice the rapture of believers is not Christ's second coming back to earth to establish his kingdom, but to be raptured is to fulfill Jesus' promise that he would personally come for us to be taken to heaven before the terrible wrath of God in the great tribulation.
Genesis 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God says, "I'm gonna remove the righteous from the wicked world." And it's going to be the pattern from now on. Then there was the separation of Moses from Egypt. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's home, prince of Egypt. For God to work through Moses, he needed to separate him. And then came the point where Moses convinces Pharaoh that Israel should come out of Egypt. And now comes the separation of Israel from Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and said, "Go out from among my people. Go and be gone." And when Jesus came to the world, all the rules have changed. Everything. And the first thing that the believers of that time in Jerusalem realize is of the need of the Jewish believers in Jesus to be separated from religion and traditional Judaism. They had to be separated. Certain things that God tolerated before came to an end. Galatians chapter 2, look what Paul, a Jew, writes about Peter, a Jew. "When Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." No flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. He's telling a Jew, don't act like a Jew and be hypocrite when you know that the law cannot save them. Don't sell them that. For I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
If righteousness came through the law, then Jesus died in vain. If your good works can save you from hell, why did Jesus Christ have to die? No amount of your good works could ever save you. It's only in Christ and his righteousness, not your good works.
Listen again to this great scripture and maybe memorize it. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. I love this. And gave himself for me. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And we know he didn't die for nothing, but he died for us.
Good works only come as a result of being saved by Christ. We are his workmanship, created unto good works.
Don't tell them that you will be perfected by keeping the law when you know that the law cannot save you. We're saved by grace. Up until now, we talked about this world and the separation, the physical and the spiritual separation that you had to do in this world. But I want all of you to get ready for the great separation. A separation that will change everything, because there is no way of turning back. And I am talking about the great separation of the church from this world. I'm talking about the physical removal of the believers from this world. This is the great separation. The rapture of the church. Yes, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Rapture comes from rapturo. It's in Latin. It comes from the Greek harpazo, and it is in the Bible many times. It's to be caught up. 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, this is the great separation, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The great separation. God told us to separate ourselves from so many things, and yet we're still here. Jesus could have prayed, Father, I pray that when you take me, you will take them also. But he didn't. He actually said, Father, I do not ask you to take them, but I ask you to keep them from the evil one. Because they must stay here. They have to tell the world that there is solution, there is hope, there is redemption, and it is the name of Jesus that everyone must believe in. If he would have taken them 2,000 years ago, you would be still dead in your trespasses today. He left them so we can live today, and he is about to return and take all of us, those who fell asleep already, those who died in Christ, and those that are still alive, we're going to be taken out of here. Wow, that is a wonderful, wonderful separation.
The rapture is coming, ready or not, because if you're left here, you'll experience the wrath of God in the great tribulation described in Revelation, where billions of people will die in agony.
Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus gave up his life in a horrific death on the cross for you. You must give up your life for him.
But how do we know the rapture is going to happen soon?
The great separation of the church from God's judgment is about to come. Israel is back in the land. Jerusalem is once again the center of world attention. The world is pushing hard for global systems to be in place to prepare the stage for the rule of the Antichrist. But nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Look, Jesus gave us signs of the end so we will get ready for the great separation. The world is moving so fast towards that. Look around you. People believe their own lies. One of the things Jesus said will be in the last days, deception. Romans 12:1-2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you let the world change your mind, or do you let the word change your mind? But one thing is for sure, the renewing of the mind is the way for us to be transformed. You have to have a renewal of the mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, not will of man, but the will of God. Not the will of the world, but the will of the Lord.
I love this. Do not let the world change your mind, but let the word change your mind.
That is so good. As Romans 12 clearly says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Putting little children in worldly public schools makes worldly people.
Everything about a public school education forces children to be conformed to the world, just the opposite of training up a child in the Christian faith and in the Word of God and just diligently teaching them scriptures daily.
The public school educational system sees it as their duty to conform little children to think worldly thoughts and believe worldly ideas. Is it any wonder 90% of the Christian children leave the faith after go through this secular indoctrination?
Scripture says, train children to be transformed by the renewing of their minds.
The Lord says, come out from among them. What fellowship does light have with darkness?
The great and ultimate physical separation is at hand. When the rapture happens, you will be surprised who is going to be raptured and who is not going to be. And by the way, this is going to be the first international gathering of all believers on planet Earth together at the same time. By the way, if you're in Israel, it's faster. They say when you pray in Israel, it's a local call. But from everywhere at the same time, in a twinkling of an eye, at a trumpet blast, boom, we're gone. And we will all see each other. And I'm not going to say, hey, where is... No. Romans 13 says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The day is at hand. Romans 8 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of what? Our body. Not our souls, not our mind. Our body, we want it to be redeemed out of here, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I'm asking you, are you ready for the great separation? And more so, are you ready for the great union that we're going to have in heaven? Come on. We're going to see Jesus face to face, and the Bible says, and we will never, ever be separated from him again. That's it. Jesus, yes, here you are. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. And all of us will have such great bodies. All of our bodies will change. Look at you now. Oh, it's a lowly body. That's why the Bible says in a moment and trickle, we will all change. We have to change in order to be taken out of here. Once you change, gravity won't have any more power. We're out of here. We're gone with our new glorified, In heaven, everybody will stand in front of the mirror. Ooh, look at this. You can eat anything you want. Are you ready for the great union? union with the Lord Himself. While we are separated from the evil world and the wicked world, there is a great unity that God is providing in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. When a person dies as a believer, what happens to his soul? Goes to be with Jesus instantly. To be absent from the body is to be what? Which means the soul will be absent from the body. And when Christ comes, all those people that you're now crying about, that you are so sad for, they're going to come back. And guess what? You're probably going to say, yeah, but it's only their souls. We miss their bodies also. Wait a minute. Their soul will come and unite with their body. We say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are you alive?
Yes.
Check your pulse right now. We that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, if you attended a funeral of someone who died as a believer, and the rapture takes place 2 minutes later, he will get there first. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The guy you just buried. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where?
Here.
I'm telling you, something sounds too fantastic. But that's not the case. You're just reading from the scriptures. This is the Bible. This is the word of God. I can't believe we are going to fly up in the air. Well, you don't have to believe, but it's your problem. The Bible says that we are going to be caught up together with those who died before in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you have a problem with that? Good. So the meeting place and the meeting point of us, the believers, with Jesus is not on earth. But the second coming of Jesus to earth is not for the church, it's with the church.
The second coming of Jesus is not for the church, but the second coming is with the church. He comes back on a white horse, and we come behind him on white horses. So we come at the end of the tribulation with Jesus.
And scripture says, we will forever be with the Lord. So wherever he goes, we go. So after the great tribulation of 7 catastrophic years on earth, we will return with Jesus, who ends the great tribulation and begins the wonderful millennium, 1,000 years with a completely transformed earth.
So the minute we met Jesus, he came down, we went up, we meet halfway. Anywhere he goes, we go. He goes to heaven, we're going there. He returns back to earth, guess what? He reigns. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And there's those, of course, who says, how dare you? We need to go through the tribulation. We need to see some carnage. The heads of all the believers will roll down the aisle. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You might take it for granted that the Jews are back in their land, but your grandparents would only dream of it. That the Lord said, even in Deuteronomy through Moses, he says, I will gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. From there the Lord God will gather you. Isaiah 66 described the moment David Ben-Gurion had to establish the state of Israel. Who has heard such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? Jesus also said about the fig tree generation, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you, when you see all these things. That fig tree is the rebirth of Israel. Rebirth of Israel is the most important end time sign of all. And he says, you also, when you all see these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, say, my generation. A generation is the longevity of people from the moment of conception to their death, including the 9 months of swimming lessons in your womb. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you are alive. You belong to the same generation. This is a generation. And all of you see today that Israel is back in the land. A Jew from the tribe of Judah is standing right in front of you right now, speaking with broken English. Ladies and gentlemen, this generation shall by no means pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So when will the rapture not happen? First of all, it will not happen when you think it will happen. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, of course, it says that it's not a thief in the night for us. We do not live in the darkness in the night, but it is going to surprise earth dwellers. Two are going to be in the field. One is taken, one is there. Two are grinding the wheat. One is taken, one is there. There's not going to be commercial on TV. Rapture tomorrow, 9 a.m. It's going to happen. It will not happen during or after the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1, to wait for his Son from heaven who delivers us, what? From the wrath to come, not through the wrath to come. So that's not enough. Revelation 3 to the church of Philadelphia, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, to wait for God's Son from heaven, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come.
That's a critical word, rescues us, or raptures us from the great tribulation. The biblical pattern, as stated in 2 Peter, says that God knows how to rescue the righteous and hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment.
This is why that the Antichrist in chapter 13, he will blaspheme not only God, but also the dwellers of heaven. They won't be here. There's the earth dwellers during the tribulation, and there is heaven dwellers in the tribulation. The rapture will happen, and it has to happen before the tribulation, that it is God's way of doing things. He removes the righteous before he pours his judgment upon the unrighteous, as he did in Genesis 19. Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because this outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. In Genesis 19, we also know how Noah was lifted up as the flood covered the earth. Take a look at this chart. Christ, through the prophet Daniel, is talking about the end time will look like. Daniel's 70 weeks, and right after the rapture, we can see, starts the 70th week, that last week that is left to be fulfilled. You can see, as we go up and Christ returns down and we meet in that cloud. That cloud, this particular one. 7 years later, at the end of that last week, Christ returns with the church in his second coming to establish the millennial kingdom. And at the end of the millennial kingdom, the great white throne judgment is going to happen. The books will be open, and anyone who is not written in the Lamb's book of life goes down to the lake of fire, and of course the believers will be in the new Jerusalem as the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem are coming down. This is the last hour. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Appearing, by the way, is when he comes like that. That's not his second coming where he stays. He appears in the sky.
When Jesus appears in the sky, this is a picture of the rapture of his precious bride. Up and out, the church rises to meet Jesus in the clouds.
Yep, that's a pre-tribulation rapture. This is not the second coming when Jesus comes back to earth with his church to end the great tribulation and begin the millennium.
Our guest has been prophecy expert Amir Sarfati, author of The Last Hour. He makes it very clear through many biblical examples of God's pattern to rescue the righteous and hold the unrighteous for his judgment. God will not pour out his wrath on those who have become born again by repenting and trusting Jesus as their Savior, since God's wrath for sin was laid upon Jesus on the cross for our sins. They've been paid for, so we won't get punished again. So we look forward to being raptured out before any part of God's great tribulation in the great rapture.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1859, The Last Hour. That's number 1859, The Last Hour. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Titus 2, verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.